coming up. Donegal County Council's monthly meeting was adjourned for a week this evening without even agreeing the minutes of a meeting in July. The National Women's Council fears remote working could create a new gender divide. There's further calls for a hybrid leaving cert to be rolled out for students this year. And the British Prime Minister has apologised for the things he didn't get right following the publication of Sue Gray's report into lockdown parties at Downing Street. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport. Returning to our top story though, Donegal County Council's monthly meeting was adjourned for a week this evening without even agreeing the minutes of a meeting in July. The meeting saw Councillor Frank McBertie suspended from all council, committee and municipal district meetings for a month and also facing a 10% cut in his pay and expenses for 12 months. A cycle of disruptions and adjournments also meant the co-option of Johnny McGuinness to replace his late father Bernard did not go ahead. With more, here's Donal Kavanagh.
When the meeting began shortly after 12 noon, the first item on the agenda was to adopt the minutes of previous meetings. However, when the minutes from last July's meeting were raised, councillors Gary Doherty and Nicholas Crossan asked what progress had been made in investigating claims of systemic corruption in Donegal County Council, which had been levelled at that meeting by councillors Frank McBertie and Micheál Colum-Gillespie. When Cathaoirleach councillor Jack Murray began to answer, councillor McBertie interjected from the floor, asking if he was a member of An Garda Síochána and saying he had no mandate to investigate anything. The meeting was adjourned and reconvened twice without progress, at which point a recorded vote was taken and members voted to suspend Councillor McBertie from the meeting. There was another series of adjournments as Councillor McBertie continued to refuse to leave. Two more decisions were taken over the course of the day, one cutting his pay and expenses for a year, the other excluding him from meetings for a month. Councillor McBertie questioned the legality of those votes and at one point claimed this would precipitate a constitutional crisis. Eventually, shortly before half past three, the meeting adjourned until next Monday.
Well, Cathaoirleach Councillor Jack Murray says what happened today was unfortunate, but he was ultimately left with no other option.
This is the last direction that I wanted to take the council in. This is a very unfortunate day and something I didn't want to oversee. But the reality is we've been here for hours and we haven't even endorsed the minutes because one councillor continued to scream over everybody else, continued to disrupt, persistently disrupt, ignore the ruling of the chair, and business just couldn't happen. I'm conscious that we had a future councillor to be co-opted on to replace his late father, and we didn't even get to do that. And I think that's a very, very sad day that we couldn't at least have got as far as that as to co-opt on that man. What we need to do now is dust ourselves down, come back in a week's time and actually get the business done that we're elected to do.
The other reality is there were very important issues on the agenda today, not least agreeing provisions on wind energy for the development plan to go to public consultation, a very important plan for Letterkenny again to go to public consultation. Those consultations now further delayed. Presumably that means decisions on those important things also further delayed.
We had a hugely important agenda. There was a lot of issues that people have been contacting me that they wanted to see done. They wanted to see the people that they elected, the local councillors elected and acting on their behalf, making very, very important decisions. But what ended up was we didn't get past the minutes. We didn't get past the adopting of the minutes because of one councillor. Now, there was 36 councillors who were willing to work and do so in a professional and dignified manner, but one councillor tried to take control of the meeting and made sure that no work could get done. But in a week's time, because the decision was made today, we'll be coming back, and I would hope now that all other 36 councillors will work together for the people of Donegal in a very professional, dignified manner.
Well, one of the consequences of today's disruption was that the co-option of Johnny McGuinness to fill his father Bernard's seat did not go ahead. Fine Gael Whip Councillor Martin Harley says it's an embarrassing day for the council.
Unfortunately, we've had another very disruptive day. All the meetings agenda that was to be done, including Johnny's co-option of the council, none of this has taken place, and it's a very sad day for Donegal County Council, and it's a very embarrassing day for our county that this has happened. And in fairness to the majority of the councillors here today, came here to conduct the business of the meeting and try and find solutions for different projects within the county, but unfortunately because of personal issues as such, it hasn't happened. So it's a sad day, and I'm disappointed for Johnny McGuinness and the McGuinness family, because I'm sure this will be a very special day for them. Now they have to wait till next Monday, and please God that can happen at this stage. So
the National Women's Council fears remote working could create a new gender divide. Cabinet is to discuss a new bill tomorrow which will give employees the right to request to work remotely. The high cost of childcare means it's more likely that women will seek out flexible working arrangements. Director of the National Women's Council, Orla O'Connor, says employers need to ensure there are structures in place to prevent a gender divide forming.
Absolutely, go forward with flexible options, because we know that, you know, to balance work and home life, family life, is really important to have those options. But it needs to be done in such a way that doesn't create a greater gender pay gaps and gender divide within the workplace.
There's further calls for a hybrid leaving cert to be rolled out for students this year. Councillor Micheál Nocton was due to bring forward a motion to council today requesting that the local authority engage with Education Minister Norma Foley in support for a hybrid leaving cert for the class of 2022. He believes that option needs to be put in place to ensure fairness as the pandemic continues to impact students. Councillor Nocton says there is a clear appetite for an alternative leaving cert.
The reason I'm calling on this basically is, you know, we have to be fair to the class of 2022 and that. And basically the students' union took a recent survey where 70% of the students are looking for a hybrid model. Now, basically, leaving certs is a stressful time for anybody, and we all know what leaving certs brings. But basically, we're in the middle of a pandemic now, which we have come to the end of it. But the leaving cert cycle is a two-year cycle, and these students would have missed a huge amount of time. And I think, in fairness to the students, and, you know, we talk about listening to our young people and their future. And if they're asking for this, and I have spoken to a lot of these people in person, I've also spoken to their parents, and I've also spoken to teachers. They're in favour of the hybrid model.
The British Prime Minister's apologised for the things he didn't get right following the publication of Sue Gray's report into lockdown parties at Downing Street. The top civil servant says some of his behaviour at events during COVID restrictions is difficult to justify and criticised failures of leadership. Boris Johnson's promised changes will be made at number 10. He told MPs he understands the concerns of the public over the controversy that has engulfed his administration for months.
I get it and I will fix it. And I want to say... And I want to say to the people of this country, I know what the issue is. Yes, Mr. Speaker, yes, yes. It's whether this government can be trusted to deliver. And I say, Mr. Speaker, yes, we can.
The Vice President of the GRA says the use of detection dogs in Donegal would greatly assist in cracking down on the circulation of drugs. The benefits of using sniffer dogs was highlighted after €3.1 million worth of cocaine was uncovered at Dublin Port over the weekend. There are currently no such resources available to guard the here in Donegal. GRA Vice President Brendan O'Connor believes it would make the work of Gardaí more effective.
There's none available to us in Donegal, or there's a very laborious process to go through if you were to seek one, and I'm not aware of it being utilised in recent times. And as you say, the anecdotal evidence, the criminal intelligence we receive is that there is, and we've heard a former state solicitor in Buncrana talk about the amount of cocaine that's in circulation. And Donegal is not like anywhere else, but I would say that, you know, it would certainly make the guards more effective if we had more dogs and perhaps a better deterrent. It's very difficult to carry out searches in, you know, drugs are small quantities, high value, so I mean it's very easy, it's quite easy for people in provenance to conceal, and I suppose the public see maybe someone that is quite known or suspected being involved in search maybe a couple of times and nothing being found. So maybe more dogs would make us more effective. That's what we've always said.
It's proposed an immediate 10-year moratorium on further military exercises taking place in Irish waters be introduced. It's after Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney confirmed over the weekend that Russia is moving its drills outside of Ireland's exclusive economic zone. There's a joint call on the government to introduce the moratorium. Former Donegal County Councillor Brendan Byrne is CEO of the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association.
I think the Russians have set a precedent now that if we're wise, and this is something that Simon Coveney can get very actively involved in, that we need to bring in a 10-year moratorium to stop all military exercises in the IGE said. We can't bring in an outright ban because the 1982 international law of the seas would prevent that because there's an anomaly in some grey area there. But we have the right, as the adjacent state and its IGE said, to bring in the moratorium based on the eco-sensitivity of the area, based on the biological importance of it to a sea fishery, which is mackerel in this case, or nephrops, and the entire environmental argument, notwithstanding, of course, the displacement of fishing.
Undocumented migrants say a new scheme regularising their status will remove the fear and uncertainty that they feel. They can now apply to legally reside in Ireland, giving them better access to employment and a path to citizenship. It's estimated there are around 17,000 undocumented migrants living here. Albert, who came to Ireland from Malawi 6 years ago, is one of them.
There is that sense of fear, that sense of uncertainty, because you never know when the guards are going to come and get you deported, because once you are undocumented, you are illegal. So anything can happen. You can't live a normal life like anybody.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with League of Ireland football. St Pat's top goal scorer last season, Matty Smith, is the latest recruit at Derry City, joining the Brandywell club on a 2-year deal. The 24-year-old Scott began his career at his hometown club, Dundee United, before joining Waterford in 2020. He then moved to Inchicore at the start of last year and was the top goal scorer for the Dublin club as they finished second in the league. Smith told the Derry City FC website that he's coming to Derry looking to compete for trophies. Elsewhere in the league, Bohemians have signed former Dundalk midfielder Jordan Flores. The former Puskas Award nominee joins Bows from Northampton Town. Cross Channel Everton have confirmed Frank Lampard as their new manager. The former Chelsea and Derby boss has agreed a 2.5-year deal to succeed Rafa Benitez, who was sacked earlier this month. Former Chelsea assistant Paul Clement will be on his coaching staff, while Duncan Ferguson and ex-Republic of Ireland goalkeeper Alan Kelly will remain part of his backroom staff. Lampard's already been busy with a permanent deal for Tottenham's Dele Alli close to completion, along with a loan move for Donny van der Beek from Manchester United. Lampard says he's proud to take up the role.
It's a huge honour for me to represent and manage a club with a tradition the size of Everton Football Club. I can't wait to get started. I always had a great feeling whenever I played against Everton as a player, playing at Goodison, felt the atmosphere, felt the passion of the fans.
Some other news on the transfer front. Tottenham have completed the twin signings from Juventus of midfielder Rodrigo Bentancur and Jezan Kulusevski. Bentancur's deal is a permanent one, while Kulusevski joins on loan with a view to a permanent deal. Spurs, meanwhile, have sent out of favour midfielder Atanga Dembele on loan to Lyon. Another player leaving Juventus today is Aaron Ramsey. Rangers are close to confirming his loan capture. As reported, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's proposed loan move from Arsenal to Barcelona has broken down over wage demands. Liverpool defender Nat Phillips has joined Bournemouth on loan until the end of the season. Christian Eriksen has returned to football, signing a short-term deal with Brentford. And Burnley have replaced Chris Wood by signing 6'6" striker Wout Weghorst from Wolfsburg. In schools action today, the Donegal Senior B boys final, St Catherine's Vocational School defeated Girmscoil Cool Ulla of Ballinamore 5-0 was how that game finished today, and that decider played at Emerald Park at St Catherine's FC in Killybegs. In Gaelic games, as we know, all three of yesterday's matches in the Alliance Football League ended in draws. Among them, at Marchevic Park in Sligo, Rob Henley's late free ensured Mayo's clash with Donegal ended 11 points apiece. Donegal missed a penalty which would have put them out of sight, only for 14-man Mayo to come back hitting the last 5 points to draw the tie. Former Donegal player Kevin Cassidy is a guest tonight on the return of the DL Debate podcast.
Donegal did it well at stages. They kept the ball, they moved it from side to side. once they got the 1v1, they used their pace and they did create scores. But then you could see in the second half when Mayo upped their game, like I said before, to be Mayo had a game against Galway. We had four McKenna Cup games, so we were a wee bit sharper. But once Mayo got the feel of the game, and I felt once Aidan O'Shea was in the middle of the field, you could tell that Mayo knew where the ball was going. So just say if the wing back had the ball, it was going to be switched to the centre. So the Mayo boys were already pressed before the ball got there. Yes, we probably should have seen it coming, but it's early days, and you know, I'm sure that's something that they'll work on this week and next week, you know.
There's more from Brendan on the, or from Kevin rather, on the DL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney tonight on HighlandRadio.com. Also joining him with the male point of view is their former footballer, now hurler, Keith Higgins. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life rounds up the big game action from the weekend. And Maxi Kearns, the manager of the LYT side, heading into the Sigerson quarterfinal showdown with NUI Galway tomorrow, Tuesday. We'll also get the thoughts of the Letterkenny college boss ahead of that tie. That's the DL Debate tonight, a podcast on HighlandRadio.com, and we'll air it just after the 7 o'clock news as well, presented by Brendan Devaney. Donegal's Michael Langan has been named on the GA team of the week after his man of the match performance yesterday against Mayo. Rob Henley, who kicked the match saving point for the green and red, is named in goals, while Conor McCluskey of Derry is named among the full back line. Armagh's Rain O'Neill, Mayo's Rob Henley and Ross Commons' Enda Smith are all nominees for the GA.ie Footballer of the Week. In cricket, Ireland are currently playing the United Arab Emirates in the plate final at the ICC Under 19 Men's Cricket World Cup. Ireland batted first and ended up on a total of 122 all out in 53 of their 50 overs. St Johnstone man Scott Macbeth had 15 of the 22 runs today. The United Arab Emirates are batting at the moment. A short time ago, they were sitting on 65 for the loss of one. Whoever takes victory in that will finish in ninth position in the competition, with the loser finishing in 10th. Finally, in rugby, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell looks likely to have a full squad to choose from for Saturday's Six Nations opener with Wales. Tadhg Furlong, James Ryan and Ian Henderson will return to full training tomorrow, while Keith Earls, Joey Carberry and Josh van der Flair have already taken full part in sessions ahead of the tie. And that's your sport for the moment here in Highland, Catherine.
Thanks, Oisin. Returning to news now, it's anticipated that mica homeowners will be reimbursed for costs incurred by testing for the presence of mica in the coming weeks. The mica Action Group met with Donegal County Council and Housing Department officials last week, and it was confirmed that regulations to release the funding will be approved by mid-February, and then it will be made available to the council. PRO of the mica Action Group, Michael Doherty, says while significant progress has been made on a number of issues, there's still much concern that the enhanced scheme will not be fully rolled out until September.
The whole regulation side to allow the return of the test and fees money is still very important to people, and we get a lot of messages about that. Long story short, it should be rubber stamped and approved by the middle of February, with funds being made available to Donegal County Council by the Housing Department at that point in February. And then it's up to Donegal County Council to roll that out to the applicants. And we have there undertaken that that'll be done in as efficient a way as possible. So that'll be good to get that up and running and get people their money back. So a lot of homes with thousands outline that they should be getting back here now from mid-February onwards. The emergency works, this is one's important. So if you're in a home at the minute and you've got a chimney that looks like it's ready to come down, whatever the case may be, and if you're in the scheme and you're stage one approved, you can get your engineer to contact Donegal County Council and get the go-ahead for the emergency works. That should be available to you. You can go do it now, but it'll probably be not rubber stamped until the end of February. And that leaves you then that that'll be a recoverable cost. Okay, and you can get your money back then on that. Again, just the one thing that I would say is the biggest issue is that September timeline and what we can do about getting that pulled back. But the rest of it looks like it's starting to come into some sort of shape for us here that favours the homeowner.
continuing cloudy this evening and tonight with patchy rain. Light drizzle or rain will turn more persistent and widespread overnight with highest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees. Closing headlines now. Donegal County Council's monthly meeting was adjourned for a week this evening without even agreeing the minutes of a meeting in July. The meeting saw Councillor Frank McBertie suspended from all council, committee and municipal district meetings for 1 month and also facing a 10% cut in his pay and expenses for 12 months. The National Women's Council fears remote working could create a new gender divide, and there's further calls for a hybrid leaving cert to be rolled out for students this year. That's it for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6. You can catch up with all the latest in local news, of course, as always, on our website, highlandradio.com. Until 6pm, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, the 31st of January. The death has taken place of Charlie Ward, 6 Sandringham Drive, Preham Park, Derry. Funeral from his home on Wednesday at 10 past 1 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Dunamana, County Tyrone. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to NI Chest, Heart and Stroke, 21 Dublin Road, Belfast. The death has taken place of Mrs. Charlotte Mackie Watson, née Rolston, Demence, Raphoe. Service at Raphoe Cathedral on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in St. Ninian's Church Graveyard Convoy at approximately 3:15. Family, friends and neighbours welcome. House private on the morning of the funeral. Family, flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Raphoe Cathedral Restoration Fund and the Donkey Sanctuary Raphoe, care of any family member, or Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Rita Gallagher, Lower Cadieux. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. House private to family, neighbours and friends. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Kincashla, with interment afterwards in Belcritch Cemetery. The house is strictly private on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Sister Mary Teresa, formerly Bridget McGillaway, Lower Brahe Malin Head. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in Newry. Burial to take place in La Graveyard, Malin, tomorrow afternoon at approximately 2:30 to 3 o'clock. And the death has occurred in Birmingham, England, of Nuala Gallagher, née Campbell, formerly Burton Port. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The funeral mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes or funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.